Okay. So I am going to follow my list of speakers. Of course, members have reminded me, including my co-chair, that a decision of this Brazil lady. You know, I can try to look into the Brazil matter. But it can't be told by this such a somewhat senior and just a little bit of faith, you know. I'll record it. It was first followed by Honorable McKenzie, and I'll take you and proceed in the meantime.
Let me just
mention
that very quickly. What is the net loss? Of 7.3 million. Obviously, the warning effect. But let me start by giving the presentation away in terms of the good work that the authorities are trying to do, that just trying to put things in correct perspective as such. But the net loss of 7.3 million. The mechanisms can try and deal with the particular issue, if possible, just to be clarified as the committee. Secondly, from the analysis that was done of your strategic plan, was the area of lack of proper funding of the IT system. Just to clarify in terms of going forward, how best are going to deal with that particular issue. And that is the issue of the seeming there is an issue of breakings by armed criminals at patient house, which was also an issue that was picked up, I think as well by the AG. Do we measure that we are putting things so far just to deal with that particular issue? To me, it's also an issue that we might, if we don't necessarily try and come up with some
Thriving business. Everywhere I go, I can post name offices. and yet their price, they piggyback on your services, membership services, sending your courier service, am I correct? So, and yet they charge 2 or 3 times more than you do. You talk about the middle classes as being, in fact, in your list, the middle classes are seen as overwhelmingly positive for your business model. A growing middle class that will have a positive impact on mail, career, and financial services. So you think that your business plan would take this into account. Again, I can only speak from personal experience. I live in the poorest area in Southampton, a middle class area. Within 3 or 4 square kilometers, there are 4 Postmates retail outlets. There are no Sappho outlets. Now I'm talking about the interior, I'm talking about Danton, I'm talking about Stain City, I'm talking about Fourway. The closest one is Bryanston. And then Sandton, which is closed for renovations, or why is it open now? It's the problem. You think that to exploit and take advantage of that middle class growth area, something like Fourway was an opportunity for you. I don't see that out in that area. You talk about new and efficient services. It would be good to know what these are. You talk about communication products. What are these communication products? And what are the digital services that the post office aims to provide? And that's all I say. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Next, Honourable Chair. Can you go into some details, please, on what negotiations are underway regarding funding your universal service obligations? You know, these are considerable. That puts me, having looked out from under you is put you into serious financial trouble. And these are government obligations. And so I wanted to know what negotiations are happening with the DOC or Treasury or whoever to make sure that you can actually fund what they are obliging you to do. Then also I'm wanting some explanation, please, or discussion on the challenges of urbanisation. And it's something the whole ICT industry faces, or any development aspect, is, you know, you spend a lot of money putting infrastructure into outdoor area and outdoor area ceases to exist because everybody's moving to town. What kind of contingencies are you putting that your infrastructure is movable with the people? And also we've been sort of outpaced in very much by technology. So there's a bit more of the challenges of your moving topic there. Then ECT, there was a discussion last year about you getting involved in the rollout of the ESG built set-top boxes. Can you give us any indication of what is happening there? And then your major challenge of the year has been the striking of your contracted casual labourers. Has that come to an end now? You've created a lot of employment opportunities for many of these people, but there's still ongoing strikes. What are the causes of those strikes, and do we only likely to see an end to it any time soon, do you think?
Next up, Honourable thank you. I've got 2 questions. The first one, I want to know, how does COPPA plan to reduce inaccessibility of post office for people with disabilities? And then the next question is also around the IT. There was indicated that 172 million was the amount for IT infrastructure. Now, this is the audited general report of the reported. The disaster recovery plan was still not in place, furthermore short-term trains and field IT staff was also established. So how does staff intend to deliver efficiently the e-business, email, retail, etc. competing with the digital communication like Google, Microsoft, especially taking into consideration that there was a decline of achievement of plan targets from 44% in 2011-12 to 56% in 2012-2013, indicating processing.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. My issue. First, I wanted to know, first of all, to television. I wanted to know because I heard that performance management was never conducted for the past few years. and how they compensating their employees, and how many promotion their facts is this thing was lost conducted, and then how much they spend on capacity building or human development. And if that, which measurement are they using to perform that? And again, I understand that most of the honorable members, they don't know much about accounting. So, this thing of completing with percentage, not coming up with figures, sometimes, is a problem. And I'm pleading with the financial department that money, please, when you come back to our budget vote to us a full executive report, please. If you write figures, it's much appreciated, but in the bracket, try to write if you write percentage, it's much appreciated, but let's read in the budget, write figures. So that they will be able to understand, because some will not understand what is this percentage of what percentage. And there's an issue of property partitionment. That means that for refurbished, according to the way they rules, and they think that next and coming financial years, they will go for the referendum. For five of what? For five of what? In fact, how many possibilities do we have in South Africa? And if the refurbished, full five of our. And HR issues. You know that I'm a person of knowing that as much as you are waiting, and then how many goods do you have for other people to come and gain you and to make sure that still competition in your possibilities. How many vehicles do you have, and then which methods do you use to recruit, and how many equipment? And give us time limits. When are you going to change those people to act to be productive? And how many paying cases do you have, if you have any? And the time limits for disease. And the last one, that's the customer satisfaction survey 2009. And overall result was 43%. And I wanted again to know what is the result of us. How many people we were studied? And please, try to give details where you can do everything. So for the people of Brazil, let me just step here and leave all other people to be in. Because if I can follow this, other people will be like, well, thanks.
I would like to know in South Africa, in page 19, they are talking about the property and risk management approach in the greater real estate system, of which on page 46, on real property 10, they say, I'm sorry about that, let me go to page 46, that's what I'm sorry. The property unit currently performs the following functions via geographical distribution team that works across country and in conjunction with the business unit, of which now, to me, can they explain, I don't know whether it's collaboration or what. And then if you go to their financial statement, they are talking about current assets, you don't know which assets. Is
it building? Is it kind? Is it what?
Thank you,
Chairman. Honorable Matebo.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks for the presentation and the team. I just want to clarify if you are responsible for the registered post office, and if so, what are you doing? What plans are in place to get it spread to its feet? on the issues of the supply chain management, the challenges that we have, I need to know if those who work there with the challenges that you've raised, if they have been vetted, because the AG requires that now lately, and also each IT, the infrastructure, how far you are, the people with disabilities on the 0.44%, what time frame do you put for yourself to ensure that you comply with the employment equity of 2%, especially for people with disabilities? And on the issue of the post of the post bank, when do you see it being functional, launch open and functional? Because I think in a bit that it's an important bank, and we'll be able to deal with a whole lot of issues and loans for people who do not qualify who are not getting joy in applying for loans in the commercial banks. And what makes it that people now opt for the other more expensive modes of post, like the DHL and what have you, when once upon a time you were a very efficient aspect and you used like a letter. We don't even buy a writing test now in envelopes because we know it will never get there. Or by the time it gets there, it will be late. But it also gets worrying with the level of the strikes that are there in the post office. It affects for sometimes students who need to get their post material to do an assignment and stuff like that, and to find that they are distracted. Are there any mechanism of engaging the union, the ensuring that probably you engage in a, instead of a short term, like a 2-year contract with them on some of the issues that they raise? Thank you very much. Yeah, this is it.
Okay,
that's the other one. Thank you, Justin. I've been covered on the research of boxes. I also am interested in the question of labor brokers and the many employees that were put on a 1-year contract following the banning of labor brokers or the announcement that all labor brokers have been done away with. Can we get some form of concrete support with regards to that? And if there is an achievement of decent labor with the entity, I think it's an important one. And then the last one, I know that the Communication Workers Union brought to the attention of the minister, but also post office, the usage of G4S, which is a critical company that is complicit in the illegal occupation of Israel in Palestine, including managing a prison, running a prison on behalf of the Israeli regime in occupied Palestinian territories. Have you looked into that? With a view, of course, of disinvesting, I think that would be the term, paying business with them and really considering it in a local security company. And not using G4S. I think that we can't be seen to be doing businesses with companies that are violating human rights and international law, particularly in the question of Palestine. I know that this was brought to your attention. Did you do anything about it? If not, why? Sure.
I know I made the issue of pricing as an issue, and I see them as a whole. And I'm pardon me if I do not follow suit, because oversight is more important than pricing. Because we had our position to this test. I'm joking. And also to to raise cabinet issues with postings. And for me, I think it's important that the management of things are going well. It's very important that we need to start getting things to where they need to be. And the number of issues that have been raised by the auditors now for me is quite a concern, because part of what they're explaining or the raising of the auditors is just more in terms of stability and assisting the organization to function effectively. And for me, maybe to say, because I was listening to the CFO present, but one of the things is to start thinking outside where we are. The issue of every time relying on government grants, what else are we able to do? Beyond relying on government grants, government to give us money. If you look at the economic situation, it's difficult, it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be prioritization. So institutions must start thinking in terms of sustainability themselves. Try and get into avenues, engage with sister departments, and provide the services that you are able to. But you've got to get your service, your customer service right. Because if basic education is to come to and say, this is a big scholar, then my question will not be trying to read the time you're supposed to be that book. Because if they come to you and they expect that we should rely on your service, that's one of the things. But I think, Chair, one of the things that you're going to have for me, is the minister now on this one, the department. You are thinking that in terms of the financial impact on the post office, there's mandates that have, funds that have been withdrawn, but mandates remain. It's a problem because a mandate is not go with money, and if money is withdrawn, therefore we call a mandate. So that we do not continue to hold an organization accountable for a mandate that is not funded. That's for me, I think, it's an issue that we must engage with the ministry. And then the issue again is on the publication of the post bank or corporate reservation. Because when you look at the requirements from the reserve, it's a kind of number that is not supposed to the chapter board. Because there are requirements that which be required from board members in terms of that they will be able to spend the test of time. You understand around the policy and you know the requirements. That reserve bank has particular requirements in terms of board members. If today a reserve bank is walking to a post office and the needs that are supposed to be tested, are supposed to be evaluated in order for you to get a license that you are, would you be able to assist them to go through that and get us the license that we want? So I think that is very critical for us. In terms of assessing, because once we push with the minister, we push for everybody, we engage with treasure, they shouldn't be still having this from your side. So that's why I'm asking this question. Another thing that I think is that for me, I even used to be there when I was raising the chaplet. I remember that chaplet said not to see counters to counters and something like that. And part of what post office needs to start moving is to be able to retain customers, to be able to retain people. That's to get the service that people expect. We can become, South African citizens can become reliable clients. If post office do the right thing, they can become reliable customers if post office is able to say, I'm able to, for example, one of the areas, deliver goods to your door, rather than the fixed issue. And I'm not going to come to, I don't have time to go to the counter to collect or to drop. So it's either collected from the house and it's delivered from the house. Those things. So, and I hope I can read it. And then the issue that I think somebody raised, I'm just concerned about the number of non-permanent employees. it's a huge risk, one huge risk for the institution. I think it's for example, you for 97 and you for 8,082. And then CFG, you for 97 and you for 215. And I think this is what causes the reduced most of the time that happens. So, those are some of the things, but really to really check on the issues, okay? And then, on your, when you talk about your performance issues and general strategy, because I think, do you envisage job losses with the current situation, with the current difficulties? Are we likely to, because you're talking about repositioning, you're talking about general strategy with a lot of employees who are on contract. And the other thing I wanted to understand, I can't remember which page it is, but I remember the issue. Around a loan, which was a debt that an inherent debt, I can't remember which page it is, I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find issues that are prioritized, and so in the process I can't go to the pages about them, I'll just know. But are you at the point where you are finalizing the system of treasury? Yeah, and how is it going? That's that loan that is there. But I'm worried, you need money and you have loans and all those things. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. And then one of the things I want is your time frames, anticipated time frames of your turnaround. Quickly, I just want to make sure that I don't need critical issues that I wanted to bring in. Oh yeah. It's on page 55, the issue that I was talking about. Your liabilities and non-current liabilities. There's liabilities, non-current liabilities, you've got current liabilities. You've got current portion of long-term loan that is anticipated there. Amount owing to shareholders, that's another thing I wanted to understand. Then the last one is the subsidy has been utilized. What subsidy is that one and why was it not utilized? And then, unfortunately, we're not sure when we dealt with the ICASA, but just to understand what has been with your licenses with ICASA as well. As you expand, are you able to get your one is 1,000, 10,000, that license review and where it is in the process, just to get that. Something I'm trying to speak, I think, I hope I covered the issues, I wanted to cover and not have anything. But I think everybody, like, others will definitely come back, engage with them. And for me as well, is the issue, chairperson of the board, we're going to need you to be quite tighter in terms of doing your oversight rules and the board over the institution. Because we would not be every time be able to interact with the institution. So that's why those are there to make sure of this oversight. There are quite a number of issues that you know that are not really reflected in the annual report. And some of the things we pick up from the media that are just not giving a good image of post office. And it would be appreciated, or I think it's a duty to the board to ensure that they do their oversight, but as well ensure that some of these things are really dealt with effectively. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks so much, Co-Chair. I think there's been recent questions that are out there, and like not don't need to question, but all of them had been covered. But just to emphasize one point concerning the temporary employees which had to return to permanent. If we look at the question in other ways, to just verify where you are. And just also in case that, of course, we are all panicking and cutting our fingers concerning the licensing system. And really wish that you do think obstacles that might be then dealing with them. We wouldn't like a situation where China's and all the way while we're waiting and doing all that, the one of the hospital, knowing you or unknowing you that you didn't really deal with in advance. Remember, all of us in this election process and expect that the mass movement
Either direct or maybe through services
conversations we saw, because there's the likes of CSG, the Queer Service Group, which can do a number of services, whether it's courier for inter or organizations which are within different governments. So that's how we look at funding. Our endeavor at the moment is to look at those options where we're discussing with ICASA, to look at options of balancing the rollout, versus how there is enough oversight on the reserves component to make sure that there is no leakage against what we're supposed to be paying. Because we do pay license fees to our customers. So we believe that is the one way. The other way, of course, is where now we're putting together a plan to present to the government structure to be given an option to do business with government, which would then enable us to strengthen our revenue indirectly, that would again our taking care of the police. There was a comment around cost-net in terms of cost-net needs competitiveness, or also in terms of presence in the marketplace. We in terms of rollout of our outlets, we roll out our outlets in line with the current requirements. 1% being the target, currently sitting at about 1 to 22,000, or using a radius of 5 kilometers. Now, I want to speak to this also speaking around the whole issue of organization. Now, we may not commercially look at what content will do in terms of positioning. We look at what the mandate is. We look at density, and we look at in terms of having more specifically, but in the program, we look at radio. Where are we and how are we accessible against the target set as a primary? Of course, we do appreciate that there's an aspect of commercialization which we take into account, but our primary test is meeting on Monday. Now, the advantage which we also are appreciating right now is the fact that the retail offerings which a partner may have may be one of those opportunities we need to look at, whether it's not only retail offerings, but issues such as medical distribution, chronic medication, etc. These are some of the areas which we believe is relevant for cost profit and also is relevant from a point of view that government does have chronic medication in the main through some of the government medical aid. So we are looking at that, and we believe that that's an area of an opportunity. In terms of DCT updates, our commitment was to build capability to be able to support the distribution of the DCT project. We have done so, and we have been working closely with all agencies aligned to the DCT project to ensure that we are ready to distribute. We have put together capabilities and funding for the programs which will support DCT. We're almost ready, and if the project is in the timeline that's close enough, we're able to meet another timeline around the distribution of investment properties. When it comes to the strike and the employment and the temporary, I will type and do all together, and also including the labor program. The board in 2012, around July, August, took a resolution that labor brokers should not be used. And from that time, there was a conversion of the labor brokers into contracts. The intention of the contract was to ensure that we have an amicable process of assimilating the employees. So the contract was in one thing to benefit the employees, because we no longer had the labor broker fee, which would now have a benefit to the employees. The second step that was to look at the challenges we have as an organization. One, seasonality. We have a number of what we call temporary employees who normally do what we call seasonal work, because you have distribution in the morning, and then in the afternoon there's nothing to do, or at peak only. Now, we needed to find a way to have those employees contracted in a manner which allow us to meet our cost obligation, and that's where the segment of temporary employees came in. However, our endeavor has always been to ensure that we find a level which we can afford as an organization and slowly migrate and convert employees into that. And that's where this conversion of the permanent came in. Because as an organization, we're looking at a mechanism to slowly
because one cannot convert. And if it was to convert all the temporary employees into permanent contract, we're looking at that over 300 million a year, which we have to take over. But what we're working with the unions is to find a systemic way of appreciating the challenges we have financially, but also appreciating the fact that, you know, these are permanent employees which, by nature of the work, cannot be used for the full hour. So there is a process in place where we're working with the unions to get that process concluded. We're also working closely to try and find a mid-long-term sustainable agreement where we'll be able to have a gap where there is stability. These are some of the things which we're currently working on with the unions. There has to be an appreciation that we are working on this at the back of the changing labor relations requirements. So we're trying to balance that. We don't find ourselves at risk that we have contracted employees in a manner which effectively these employees may want to be put up employees, yet we have recognized and financially cannot sustain that. So we are looking at that comparatively, and the union has been positively working with us, of course, with its own challenges. And the strike which probably hit us the most was not related to the structural process we're working on now in terms of finding an approved way. It was a specific problem, a specific time, which was informed by people from outside, which, you know, led to employees believing that there are funds which are due to them, which is not the case. But as far as this, once we have challenges, we are working very well and with employees. We equally, because the impact of strike is greater than just the employees and the unions, we are working with customers to find solutions. As an example, we're working with the unions to say, what is the best thing we need to do when we have challenge for strike, and how do we make sure we prioritize?
Okay, I'm so sorry. We are only left with 5 days to vacate the room. Okay. And therefore, whatever we do, there could be paid to retain the 10 minutes. So you bring a shot. Okay, yeah, that's perfect. And maybe just a round up for the major responses.
Okay, maybe what I'm going to do is check that. Because there are financial issues which are concerned. Let me take a break and just allow the CFO to cover some of that. So if the financial response will be passed on the other end.
Thank you, sir. Would you think of in future when we present, we should ensure that we don't just show percentages, but we show the numbers as well so that our finances make sense. Just to answer on the question on the current assets, the components of current assets are three. We have bank and cash, we have our receivables, and we have inflation. So other current assets, those are the three things that we look at. And as far as MCM are concerned and the vetting processes actually have started toward the end of last year. I just need to go back and check how far that process is, but it has started toward the end of last year. Then on the question around the long-term loans and the repayables, when you look at our funding plan, because we said we don't have money in our coffers to fund our CapEx, as a plan, we put forward a borrowing plan that will actually have to go through the shareholder and in conjunction and concurrent with treasury. So it's a plan on how we can possibly fund our CapEx needs. It's not a loan that we currently have. We have made reference to the possible, it's not a plan, but a possible loss of 733. Now, that will only realize if the turnaround strategy does not kick in as effectively as we want it to. So while we highlighted that, we thought it prudent that we bring it to the attention of the committee. Not that is a plan. Then there was an issue on what the HE has raised. In the previous financial year for our audit report, we received an unqualified report, a audit opinion, with a matter of emphasis as far as going concern is concerned. And the issue of going concern, why the audit has raised it, was purely because for the first time in a number of years, we would be operating without a subsidy. So the questions from the auditors were,
would you be able to continue trading without the support? We didn't see a more future, and they looked at a 12-month period. So that's the reason why we had that met our emphasis here. So the issue that we raised again on SEM. And those two, we have just, we have put position, and we have the program on how we are regularizing our irregular expansion. And there was also a question on the fraud on that was reported by the AG. What also need to highlight there is, as far as there is concerned, that was a fraud that was detected by the AG. So our systems in handling were robust enough to detect the fraud. Now, since then, we've now also worked on ways to prevent that type of fraud. Now, we can't say that it will not happen because we're dealing with human beings, but we have control in place to ensure that such fraud don't recur. Thank you.
As a matter of just emphasizing the level of control, recently, as far as 2 weeks, there was something happening where we were going to be subjected to an incident, but we managed to capture that one in time, and the culprit actually apprehended shortly after that. Just one from Katie, sure.
Chair, I'm just referring to one question that highlighted the concern around whether there's enough structure and framework to make sure that the post-bank does succeed in getting its license. There are several oversight bodies that we are working with currently. We have a bilateral committee where we sit with the DOC on a monthly basis. We have a working committee where we sit with both the DOC and National Treasury. And we are also being monitored by, we're sitting with the DG now almost on a weekly basis, and there's a committee that's been formed, and we're also reporting to the CEO as well on a frequent basis. So it's enough oversight and support that we're receiving from the relevant departments.
Firstly, I just want to acknowledge the input which came from the members. Indeed, you know, looking into innovative ways of using small shops and post offices and so on, we'll definitely look into that. And also the specific post offices which have got challenges, like the street post office, we'll look into that, including the post office using a specific firm for services within the South African post office. We have got other issues outside that service delivery agreements with post office. We'll definitely look at that closely. And also the issue of retention of clients. We've noted that we're going to work on that as well. And my comment would be to assure the committee that with regards to the processes leading to the licensing of the Coast Bank, as a board, that one other serious matter we are taking upon ourselves in terms of the fit and proper assessment. The members who are in the board committee of Coast Bank have already gone through the first phase of assessment, and the rest of us as board members have initiated the process so that by the time the Reserve Bank comes back to us, we are all assessed and we are sure that we are fit and proper. And if there's no someone amongst us who's not fit or proper, then we have to take to allow the shareholder to take a decision on that as part of his responsibility. And again, or lastly, Chairperson, the issue of the board tightening oversight responsibility on the institution. It's noted, Chairperson, but I think if you look at the history of where we're coming from, you'll appreciate that the board has done quite a lot in terms of assisting management even before we come to our oversight to be where it is today. And that time the level, the second level of responsibility was a bit less because they're trying to assist putting together management which was going to take the mandate forward. But now that we have tightened the management aspect, we have begun to look into our oversight very seriously and tightly. And thanks very much for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Acting Chairperson, thank you very much. Together with the CEO, Mr. Gani, and the entire team, thank you so much. And sorry for putting your feet on a rush at the end, but we think that the information we looked for will be forthcoming, the one that's enough, but we'll get what you have to put forward. I am going to summarily hand over to my chairperson. My co-chair to really deal with the latter part and attend the meeting because there are some other things that we need to focus on. But this brings us to the end of our APC processes. I know Honorable Lonnie was up. Do you want to raise the question and forward it to the post office or you want to actually...
Just a quick response on G4M.
No, on
G4M.
I did respond. I said I acknowledge the input which came from him. We are going to look at it because it involves a company with contractual obligations. So we need to treat it differently from the current interaction, and we'll provide you with the feedback.
Thank you. Honourable members, it's been a long process, but it was important, especially for us to scan the environment. I'm going to allow Honourable can only go back to finalize the process. We are still meet on Friday from 9 o'clock again until 17 hours as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Commissioner. And just keep one, Honorable Members. What will happen from here? Let's extend the process from here so that we are not on Friday. What will happen? The team will put together the report which will be presented on Friday from 9 o'clock. If we feel that the report is fine, does not have amendments, Honorable Bruce, if the report does not have amendments, we'll adopt it immediately. If there are amendments, then we adopt it in absence. So we have scheduled a full day of the report. Members are going to see the report on Thursday. After we are discussing, we are asking for your email, please. Issue of asking. If members can make sure, before you leave Parliament, if you have not received the report, please check and make sure that you receive the report. We'll not start going through the report. We expect that you read the report overnight on Thursday, so that Friday morning we deal with it. And then out of that, then once we've done the amendments and all that, would adopt the report, which on the AGC would have done our process. Budget rules is on the 15th July 2014, E249, CCIS from 800, which is fixed at night. Until 1945. That's our budget rules, one of the budget rules. The second one is on the 16th July 2014, E249 again venue, the DOC budget vote from 1400 until quarter to 4. So that's the information I wanted to share with members so that we are able to be on the same footing when we meet on Friday. We hope that members will be definitely prepared. Thank you very much, Chairperson. It has been a quite interesting process. I know Friday is our last joint meeting, so we go out the following. Thank you very much for the meeting. Maybe just to finish our guests, thank you very much for sitting through, and I hope you have really enjoyed the day.
Nope.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, okay, okay, man. Yeah. Okay. I can you hear me? I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. I can
hear
you. Okay, man. Enjoy. None.
No, you're not doing GCIS. Yes, you're the other way around. What are you doing communications?
Yeah, that's like...
We're doing two separate...